Ben is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across Southeast today. This is their story. In Portsmouth South, physics graduates who want to teach are being priced out of training programs, while science departments struggle with unfilled posts and combined lessons. The classrooms exist, the qualified graduates exist, but Treasury spending rules treat teacher training bursaries like a household managing weekly shopping rather than a government deploying its own currency to meet critical needs.
I always knew I wanted to teach. Growing up in Fratton, watching my mum work as a teaching assistant at the local primary, I saw how much difference one person could make when they found the right way to explain something. She used to say I had a gift for taking complicated ideas and making them simple. During my physics degree at Southampton, I spent hours tutoring younger students, and that feeling when something finally clicked for them was better than any lab result I ever achieved. After 3 years working as a lab technician at a pharmaceutical company, I'd saved enough to take the leap. Teaching felt like coming home to something I was meant to do. I applied to the University of Portsmouth's PGCE physics program in January 2023, excited to start that September. The course looked perfect, right here in my hometown where I could live affordably and stay close to family. The admissions team called in March to say I'd been accepted. I was over the moon until I asked about the training bursary. I'd researched it thoroughly online. £24,000 for physics teachers, recognition that the subject was desperately needed. But the coordinator's voice changed. "I'm afraid there's been a reduction," she said. "The bursary is now £10,000 for physics teachers in the southeast because recruitment targets are being met nationally." £10,000. For a full year of training, with teaching practice, essays, lesson planning. I did the maths three times. Even living at home, even with my savings, it wasn't enough. I asked if there were payment options, part-time routes, anything. "There is no funding," she said, and the way she said it made it sound like a law of physics. "The budget has been cut. I tried applying to schools directly for school direct programs. Portsmouth Academy told me their physics training places had been defunded entirely. The head of science sounded genuinely sorry. "We used to run a brilliant program," he said, "but we can't afford to run that program anymore. Treasury constraints." Mayfield School gave me the same story, empty training places, but no money to fill them. The University of Winchester offered me an interview. I drove there on a rainy Thursday, hoping a different region might have different rules. The course coordinator was enthusiastic about my application, but when I asked about numbers, her face fell. "We've had to reduce our intake by 60%, she admitted. "Treasury spending constraints, we wanted to take on twice as many trainees, but the allocation just isn't there." For months, I accepted this. It sounded reasonable. Everyone seemed to accept it. Budgets are finite, money doesn't grow on trees. The government has to make hard choices. I started looking at other careers, telling myself that teaching just wasn't meant to be. Then I started noticing things that didn't fit. Walking past Portsmouth High School one afternoon, I saw three empty classrooms in their science block. The windows were clean, the equipment was covered but clearly functional. Through the open door of another room, I heard a teacher telling a Year 10 class that their physics lessons were being combined with chemistry because they couldn't recruit a specialist physics teacher. 30 students squeezed into lessons designed for 15, learning watered-down content because there was no one qualified to teach them properly. That weekend, I was at a pub quiz in Southsea when I got talking to two other people on the next table, both physics graduates from Portsmouth University, both working in retail. One stacking shelves at Tesco, the other selling phones in Commercial Road. Both had wanted to train as teachers. Both had been priced out by the same funding cuts. We compared notes and found four more people in the same situation on social media. Seven qualified physics graduates in one small city, all ready to teach, all blocked by the same excuse. I walked past that empty training building at the University of Portsmouth the next week. The sign was still there, Centre for Teacher Education. The classrooms inside were dark, but the furniture was still arranged for seminars. The car park was empty except for one security guard who told me they'd had to mothball half the building because of budget pressures. That's when I started to understand what I was really looking at. The people existed. Me, the two from the pub quiz, the others we'd found online. The students who needed teaching existed. I'd seen them crammed into those combined lessons. The classrooms existed, empty but ready. The training facilities existed, locked but functional. The teachers who could supervise us existed. The university still employed them, just on reduced hours. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that prints every pound note and mints every coin told me it couldn't find enough of them to connect willing graduates to desperate schools. But money isn't a physical thing that runs out, it's numbers in computer systems, and the UK government controls those systems. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that issues the currency told me it could not find enough of that currency to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work in schools that desperately needed them. The real question was never about money, it was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It's the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. Except a household doesn't issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching, still ready to teach when the political winds change. Because I understand now that this isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where qualified people and urgent needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. Someone just chose to keep it locked.
What Ben experienced has a name: cherry picking. This technique selects rare examples where spending failed to justify never spending, while ignoring overwhelming evidence of what happens when government does invest. Think of a tobacco company in the 1960s pointing to one 90-year-old smoker to claim cigarettes were safe, while ignoring thousands of studies showing lung cancer links. They cherry-picked the exception to dismiss the rule. When Treasury officials cite isolated examples of education programs that didn't meet every target, they're using the same logic. They highlight the rare training scheme that overspent or the occasional graduate who left teaching, then use those exceptions to justify cutting bursaries across entire regions. This ignores the evidence that physics teacher shortages create larger class sizes, combined subjects, and weaker exam results. It ignores the Nordic countries that invest heavily in teacher training and consistently outperform England in international rankings. It ignores the fact that every successful education system requires substantial upfront investment in training. The response to Ben's application treated the household budget myth as self-evident: find the money first, spend it second. But the UK government issues its own currency. It doesn't need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: qualified graduates, training facilities, supervising teachers. In Portsmouth South, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Portsmouth South ranks 182 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, published by MHCLG. The constituency has 372 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Portsmouth South received £4 million in total grants according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.